want to dive into the call list because we got a lot of callers on the line. Fayed from Canada is calling in right now. You're first up. Welcome to the show. You've got a couple of minutes. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, I have some questions about the deep state. And, well, quick disclaimer here. Like, I, Fayed Waleed Sajjad, I've never ended anyone's life, and I've never joined a gang. I've never committed any kind of forceful sexual assault or anything, or any kind of sexual assault. So, yeah, it's because of my subject matter that I need to say that. In 2010, I reported that my fiancé was assaulted, and I reported it to the police, and I didn't get a response back. So I called them again, and as soon as I called them again, a car tried to make me crash on Elbow Drive in Calgary. The attacker pointed upwards as he flashed his ring at me, and you can double-check with anyone, but I believe that that ring was a Masonic ring. So shortly after that, my fiance would call me again and again and keep begging me and pleading, you know, to not get involved and not report stuff because, you know, people were after me and they didn't like me. So then after that, what happened was you can just imagine over the years what kind of sabotage these guys tried to play out for me.
I have a question. Why would they pick you? What's the threat with you personally?
Well, personally, I believe that they had some political agendas they wanted her to side with. And on top of that, it's regarding Jeffrey Epstein. I was the first one to report that he was harassing her because she had told me that in 2009. And then it was just a quick phone call to the police, and I didn't really realize what all this targeting was about, you know?
Did you say she was your girlfriend or fiance? I want to make sure I'm proper with that.
Fiance. Yeah, she had proposed to me in September 9th or 10th, 2009.
Okay. Has she reported any of this publicly, these claims?
She has reported it to the departments that investigate this kind of stuff.
And is this, just because I want to narrow down some of the details, is this based in Canada or was this based here in the United States?
No, it's based in Canada, in Calgary, Alberta.
Okay, got it. I'll let you finish.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, thanks. Flash forward a few years. I called the RCMP and I called them in 2018. This was after years of calling the non-emergency line, Calgary police, and just telling them about this, like all the things that she was saying and exposing about Ghislaine Maxwell and Hillary Clinton. Like, that's what she was alleging. And in 2018, when I called the RCMP, they told me to follow a process to report these things if I see anything suspicious kind of thing. And I followed the process. It's just that shortly after that phone call, you know, I started getting people, you know, hinting at things at my private information. And I went to go and check out the graffiti that was discussed in the RCMP phone call. And the graffiti had details from that phone call with like a no yapping message right next to it. I reported it to the police and the RCMP, multiple times. And, following that, I kind of went around asking about what really happened because somewhere during this time, what happened was that some people, influencers and graffiti gangs were hired to harass me and her with our private information, and God knows where they got that. So this is the problem. We're being harassed from every side, and it's all in their advertising campaigns and everything like that. And the RCMP even explained to me explicitly that the gangs...
I want to jump in because we're up against a hard commercial break right now. If you could email me, Brianna Morello at Proton Mail, any of your evidence, we'd love to look at that and support you guys if that's the case. I'm sorry you're going through that, guys. We'll be right back in just a second.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us. We're going to dive through the calls. I'm going to try to make my way down the full caller list. I know we got a lot of people on hold right now. So we'll be doing that. And then after, we'll have Sarah Gonzalez on the show. And she's got a lot to sound off on in regards to H-1B visas. So let's kick things off. Let's go to Bill in Wisconsin. He runs the Loomer Fan Club. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Brianna, thank you for taking my call.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
And thank you for putting me second after that great caller. So, Brianna, two things. Yeah, you are on fire today. That caller threw me off a second here. No, and you know why you're on fire so much, Brianna, is because what you're doing is you're kind of reflecting your audience. And you're part of the audience, and that's why we love you, is because you're like-minded, you know, is a nice way to put it. But
thank you.
We're on the same track, and you have to temper yourself because of what you do, but you let us kind of push it, you know, push the envelope there, which is cool. So, yeah, you are on fire because the people are on fire because nobody's happy. And you've seen the emotion over the last few days. And even with Alex, when he had Nick on, and the day before that, when you had Blue Raven, and when I was calling in, this is an emotional time. A lot of emotion involved, and there's a reason for that, you know, and it's a big time in history. But anyway, here's my topic of my call. I want to blunt Nick Fuentes' sword a little bit on his topic of, you know, I'm just going to vote for the Democrats, okay? But when he was on with Alex, when he said that, I was already thinking in my head, oh, you know, this is kind of an old tactic that we've been doing in Wisconsin, the insiders, the activists, the people that pay attention. Back in 2010, 11, and 12 in the Tea Party days, we kind of learned, see, in the old days, everybody would just vote straight down the ticket, Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. Republicans did the same thing. Republican, boom, right down the row, right? People started waking up during the Tea Party days, and we didn't give our votes away anymore. Like with Paul Ryan, when Paul Ryan was ticking us off, we stopped voting for Paul Ryan. He's not getting our free vote anymore, you know? You weren't going as so far as voting, quote, for a Democrat. But you see what Nick is doing. And Nick, when he was on with Alex, he even said, hey, I was just talking to Michelle Malkin last week. And that's when I'm like, uh-huh, see? Nick's talking to some of us OG people where he's getting his tactics, and it's a great tactic. And you want to go out strong. You want to exaggerate your point to make the point, hey, we're going to vote for Democrats. But if you listen to what Nick said, he also said, hey, it's common sense. If there's a good Republican out there that meeting our criteria, America First, boom, yeah, you're going to vote for him. So that's my point there on that, Brianna. See what your feedback is on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you on that, Bill. And thank you for giving us the plug. We appreciate it. Yeah, yesterday, I believe it was yesterday when, or it might have been the day before when Nick was on with Alex. It was the day before, actually, because I saw Nick's after reaction video. I mean, I think a lot of us are frustrated, and I love the fact I didn't even hear the Michelle Malkin one. So that's news to me. I love Michelle Malkin. She is one of my favorites. She's an OG. And I mean, I'm on board with Michelle Malkin jumping back into this, too. She announced that she was coming back in the fight, and like, Michelle, we need you on. We need you on. She's one of the best. She's one of the best fighters we have. So, Bill, I'm on board for that. Thank you for calling into the show. Yeah, I'll dig into that one, too. I think you tagged me in something this morning, too, that I've got to listen in on as well. I make a to-do list and just drag links over for the time being, like my later file for the afternoon. So I look forward to that in a little bit. But Bill, thank you for jumping on the show today. We greatly appreciate your time as always. Let's get to Baker in California. Baker, welcome to the show.
Yo, hey, Brianna. Okay, so I just think that this whole Iran thing is going to turn into this giant multifactional civil war. A lot of the Kurdish groups, you have some that are mostly the Turkey, Syria, Iraq ones are Sunni, but a lot of them in Iran are Shia. And so what's going to happen is we're going to start funding, arming and funding all these groups, the Kurds, and then also the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda are going to start moving into Iran through Lebanon. And we're going to be using all these different groups, and then eventually those are going to turn into a multifactional civil war among those groups. And it's like, okay, our CIA and our State Department is going to go into Iran, and then, you know, all the people that are trying to uprise against the government, we're going to start funding all these different, I mean, is the greater population going to join in on that? Like, I just don't know what their actual plan is. A lot of times what we do is we set up these groups and then we start bombing both sides and we start bombing civilians and we kind of create this culture of death and war and this war ghetto. And so people end up, groups, paramilitary groups end up getting absorbed by other Islamic factions. Because what's going to happen, I think, is like the Kurds. Okay, so we're going to set up the Kurds, but the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda are going to end up fighting those groups because they've always done that. And so, because the Islamic State, I mean, that's like, it's amazing to me that we're so, because I hear this morning on the news, it's like, oh, we got to root out this ideology and this and that. And it's like, dude, like the Islamic State is trying to literally, they think they're going to fight a war and bring back Jesus through a war and destroy the cross and bring back Christ and all this stuff. And so they see all these groups as heretical. And it's like, and then the population, because what's going to happen is Iran, they're going to be completely destabilized and they're going to be vulnerable to this whole setup through the State Department and the CIA, this paramilitary group. Okay, so we take out the government of Iran, we install a pro-democracy. I think to me it feels like our movement is dead and we need a new one, we need a new leader. And I'm not saying anything that people don't already know, but it's just like, I think, dude, I don't think people realize how in over our skis we are. Like, this is not good, dude. Like, it's already happening, dude. It's already happening with the Kurds and the Islamic State, because they're going to start fighting, and then they're going to say, oh, we need to go back in and fight these groups. Like, yeah. I don't know. What are we going to do? What should we do? Like, who do we vote for? I don't know what to do.
Listen, Baker, this is a lot of pressure to throw my way. And I don't know. I mean, that's why when I saw the CNN story, I was like, we have to put it on air and let the people decide, because we've seen this time and time again, like you've alluded to, obviously. I don't know what the future holds over in Iran. But, you know, when we saw what was happening with Venezuela, when we saw that there was an uprising and protest in Iran, we just all kind of figured, yeah, this is a CIA operation going on right now. And so we're going to sit back and watch. I don't really have a take on it, honestly. I obviously know the history of all of this. I know the history of the CIA's involvement in all of this, and I see it playing out now. I do look for these little snip bites so we could grab it and put it on air so you guys get kind of a look what's happening again kind of moment. But yeah, I mean, and then to hear the Lebanon comments be made by Lindsey Graham, this was like yesterday I heard this, and I'm like, it's just so frustrating. It's just so frustrating. It's a complex issue. I don't think it's ever going to be up anytime in my lifetime, our children's lifetime, or their children's lifetime. I think it's going to be ongoing forever. And we are the ones who have helped create this mess. So Baker in California, thank you for calling into the show. I appreciate you doing just that. Folks, I wanted to bring you a little bit of breaking news. Britney Spears was arrested on suspicion of DUI. Apparently this happened in Southern California in Ventura County. She was arrested around Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. after being pulled over by California Highway Patrol. According to law enforcement, they told NBC4 that another driver saw someone driving erratic and called 911. The California Highway Patrol caught up with Spears And that's when they began their investigation. Spears was released, though, early this morning. And this is still ongoing. Again, we don't know if she's been charged. We just know that she has been arrested. And a representative for Spears says this was an unfortunate incident that is completely inexcusable. Spears' representative told NBC News 4. And Britney's going to take the right steps to comply with law. And we'll see how this all goes. But Britney Spears was arrested. That is my breaking news going on right now. All right, let's turn to Sean in California. Sean, welcome to the show.
Brianna, am I coming? Hey, Brianna, am I coming in loud and clear for you?
I can hear you. Hi, Sean.
Hi. Hey, you had an attorney yesterday, and I wanted to rebut his tone and maybe even rebut what Nick Fuentes was saying, kind of like the Laura Luma fan club head was saying. Mm-hmm. But let's deal with this. Since the Civil War, our country's had basically attorneys have a hate-on for the grand jury. And so some of his tone and things he was saying, especially about exculpatory evidence, it was basically him speaking out both sides of his mouth. So with a simple Google Chrome AI search, and I know we don't like Google and all that, but I put in the question, do grand juries see exculpatory evidence or do trial juries see exculpatory evidence? And I already know the answer. But the response from the AI was trial juries, petite juries, almost always see exculpatory evidence as a central determining guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, whereas mm-hmm. grand juries rarely see it. Prosecutors are generally not legally required to present exculpatory evidence to grand juries, though some jurisdictions, my emphasis, some jurisdictions are policies mandated. And that goes back to U.S. versus Williams, where the defense was trying to present exculpatory evidence to a grand jury, and Justice Scalia, rest his soul, came down and said, you don't get to go into that jury room and influence the jury either way. They just have to present, is there enough evidence to go to a trial? And then the trial jury will see if the person is innocent or guilty. So this is something, when your callers, Brianna, ask, what can we, the people, do? One, show up for jury duty, but two, those juries are usually captured by these bar attorneys, so you want to convene American common law grand juries like we do at national-assembly.net, restore-america.org, and so on. You have to know what the attorneys are doing. They're the rubber cement that negotiates between all the factions of this new world order. If you can dissolve that rubber cement, then you can move the parts around. So there's that. And then on to Nick Fuentes and his spiel. He always does this every midterm. He tells the young conservatives don't show up to vote. And as a result, that leaks over into the primaries. Now, you guys got Paxton, who's been, you know, rock solid for what it's worth. But Fuentes has a pattern. He's essentially, he'll doom pill when things need to be coalesced around the America First agenda, pushing forward and actually getting energized and motivated. This stay-at-home nonsense is wrong. Get out and get involved. It doesn't have to be you as a candidate. You become the candidate, or you form groups in your community who actually do things and get things done. This whole, oh, we're just going to hold our vote and pout and protest and stay at home, that is not us using our First Amendment to its fullest, which is petition the government for redress of grievance. It's right there in the First Amendment. It's a freaking roadmap to how we go from point A to point B in this country. And I really would hope yourself and Alex, when you see folks using double speak like that, you call them out on it. You got any comments or pushback on me? I'll take it.
Well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate that. Now, I want to go to your first remarks. That the discussion regarding grand jurors you were referring to when I was out for the first 2 hours of the show yesterday, smuggling, I will say, Tommy Robinson. I'm kidding about that. Tommy Robinson into the studio. So Matt Tardio filled in for me yesterday. If you guys missed that show, that was a conversation that Tardio did have with one of the attorneys. It was in regards to, and it's such a crazy topic in itself, but it was there was a grand jury, and Sean, if I'm wrong, let me know, but there was a grand jury question that was thrown out there. It was a report by those three Austin PD officers that had taken down that terrorist in that Austin bar over the weekend. And there's like a BLM, George Floyd law that they have to place it in front of a grand jury. The DA here in Travis County was like, oh, no, they're heroes. And it was a bit of a back and forth. But that's what you were alluding to there in case folks at home missed yesterday's show, was that interview, that discussion that Tardio was having. So I wanted to lay that there. And for your second point, I would say, I believe everyone's allowed to have their different opinions. I'm feeling very black-pilled these days. And it's in regards to, and you know, my dad, who I know is watching right now, I know he disagrees with my black pill moments, but It's in regards to when we're following what's going on in the White House, we're following what's happening on the federal level. I mean, I am just discouraged. Now, my thing is this. I understand why a lot of Americans right now might be black-pilled in the federal level and not want to weigh in on the midterms coming up. But your local elections are so important for you to weigh in on, so I would never discourage anyone from participating in local elections. It is the most important ones, like I detailed two here. If you live in Texas, the runoff race right now that's taking place, there's several of them, but specifically that one for that U.S. Senate seat. If Ken Paxton doesn't drop out, and I hope he doesn't because it sounds like they're angling to put an endorsement behind John Cornyn, who has been absolutely awful for Texans, that President Trump is going to try to push Paxton out. No. We need to make sure that doesn't happen. And so showing up for those elections, I think, is critical. But I understand why a lot of Americans right now might be saying, you know what, what's the point of me even voting and trying to give Republicans a majority in the House, in the Senate, when they're not carrying out their commitment to the people? I understand why there's a black pill moment there. I would say, no, you need to go out and vote. That is important. They're counting on you not to show up to vote. And then they don't have to commit the fraud if you do that. Then they could just actually win their elections by a bunch of doomers who are just like, what's the purpose in all of this? Your local elections are critical, Sean, for folks to vote in. And I highly recommend you do just that. Again, if you live in states that you think are under attack right now, I think all of us are, red states included, Texas included. I mean, we're dealing with this Islamic takeover in Texas. You got to get politicians out there who are backing us, who are saying the truth, who are out there pushing. Because they're about to be, in Texas specifically, and this is why I'm hyper-focused on Texas, but it's happening everywhere in Alabama and Florida and other states too. There's a ton of foreign money getting poured into all these local elections, and they are trying to discourage Americans from voting, but they're also trying to tip the scales in their favor. In Texas, we have a group of politicians who are thankfully are emboldened on the topic and speaking out, and I think they should be rewarded on that front. You know, I obviously endorse Aaron Reitz for AG, and I'm going to have to go through the runoff race to see who I back now that Aaron Reitz did not capture enough votes to be placed into that runoff race. But Chip Roy has done a good job recently in talking about these issues. And so you have to give credit when credit's due, obviously, there. But again, I'm not going to place an endorsement behind either of those candidates as of yet. I have to kind of scope through a lot of it. But then you have people like Congressman Keith Self in Texas, who's also going out there. You know, the two of them have created the Sharia Caucus. And I think that's really powerful because they brought in about 42 members of Congress to speak out on the Islamification of the United States right now across the country. And that's something that wouldn't have happened just maybe a year ago. People were really afraid to talk about this issue. So we need to reward people like that, people who are talking about these issues and getting this mainstream is what I would say. So if you're at home right now and you're feeling a little doomsday, and I did kick off the show with a little bit of doomsday, let me just remind you, it's important to weigh in on your elections. It's important to be out there and be aggressive. And we need to reward those politicians who are doing what should be done. Again, Ken Paxton has filed over 100 lawsuits against the Biden regime. And then he also took on the 2020 election as well, suing those blue states who decided to manipulate, obviously, the voter situation, create more mail-in ballot options, which obviously opened an avenue for theft. And he put his neck on the line, and they went after him. They tried to get him yanked from the AG's office. So those are the people we need to back. We need to support them. But again, I would say, listen, folks at home right now, the endorsements that are coming out from the White House, don't even look at them. Don't even look at them. Those endorsements to me don't mean anything anymore. When he's endorsing people like Tony Gonzalez and won't take back his endorsement of Tony Gonzalez after we found out that now confirmed that Tony Gonzalez did in fact have an affair with one of his staffers. Again, I don't care for the details, but I'll tell you it's completely inappropriate for a member of Congress to be sleeping with a staffer. That is abuse of power. She even, according to the text messages, repeatedly said that he's taking it too far, and he continued to go on and on and on. Those people should never get an endorsement. And the fact that they are, and the president hasn't pulled that back, even after Joe Pags got him to admit on air yesterday that, yeah, he did, in fact, do that. Don't look at the endorsements. We need to look. This is how we correct the issue. Primaries are so critical because we correct the issue by placing individuals that represent our values in these positions to be on the general in November. And so people like Ken Paxton need in and others need in. And don't go with the career politicians. I know Chip Roy, and I was very critical of Chip Roy. Chip Roy went out there and said the reason why he's qualified to be AG in Texas is because, well, he has a history of winning elections. I don't like that. I don't want politicians. I want real Americans going out there and fighting for our causes. And so limit yourself with the endorsements. Don't even look at them. follow your gut, listen to the candidates, because across the primaries, there are candidates out there who will further our agenda as the American people, what we want as a top priority. And they don't really have a lot of funding. They might not have the ears of critical individuals like Susie Wiles and others who have the president's ear, but it doesn't mean that they're disqualified. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't be in these positions. It just means we have to do our research as voters. And so I highly recommend you do just that and support them and their cause. Thanks for calling in, Sean. I'm glad we could clarify those details with our audience, because that is very important. All right, Gabriella, it looks like, in West Virginia. Gabriel in West Virginia. Sorry, folks, the font's very, very small. Gabriel in West Virginia, welcome to the show.
Gabriel in West Virginia it is. Thanks for taking my call,
Brianna. I almost trans you, Gabriel. I'm sorry.
It's all right, man. I like to think that my words and what I have to say will carry me through. So I just really wanted to say, after Mr. Robinson, what he delivered and how he said it, it really brought a lot of things to light for me. And it makes me wonder what we could do, what I could do to report things that we see in our community. I happen to be in a rare position where I'm in a lot of neighborhoods locally. And I can tell you that in these middle-class neighborhoods, you've got Islamic sleepers that are living in certain places. They live surnames. You can tell when you look at their packages. And I don't know who to call to report it. No one has ever came out and did a national broadcast and says, if you see something suspect, here's what you call to give neutral information. Because when I listen to Mr. Robinson talk about his niece, talk about the rape, talk about how they're getting into our towns and cities and seeing it all kind of pander out there in Texas, I'm just in disbelief at this point, right? And so I wanted to express how surreal and how potent what was delivered yesterday through your words with him and Alex's engagement with him. It stirred up something in me that isn't quite, let's go out and fight and poke. It's more, let's be strategic about how we relay information and to whom we relay it to. So I wanted to ask this also, because I think everyone's wondering this along with me. Mr. Robinson said some things about Tucker Carlson yesterday that I thought was really intriguing. And I'm just wondering, is he going to have this conversation with Mr. Robinson about this very potent topic that seems to be coming up for all of us? Like, have you heard anything about that? And also, I'm on the fence with the methylene blue because of my wife being a bit of a purist. And I'm wondering how he responded to taking the methylene blue. I missed that part whenever Alex asked him about it. Like, yeah. What did he say? Like, was he stoked on it?
So I asked him, I didn't hear him talk about it with Alex, but I did go into the green room after a couple minutes after, and I asked him if he feels, he's like, yeah, I can. So I told him I'd grab him a bottle and give it to him so he could take it around with him on his tour of the States. So he did like it. He did like it.
Did he?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I have to, and that's a good reminder. I have to place one of the bottles in my bag and make sure I get it his way. Cause he's here for a limited time. And so we'll make sure I'll get him one of those, but he was a fan of it.
Did you guys get the X2 back in stock? Is the iodine back? Is that on a different website than the Alex Jones store?
I think we're going to look it up right now. I got my control room on it right now. They'll let me know in a second. Different website, it looks like.
Okay. Yeah, it's confusing because I'll go on to the site and see everything
I'll have
else,
CJ connect with you because we only have 30 seconds. I'll have CJ connect with you in a second so CJ can tell you on the lines. And for all of our callers, thank you for calling in. Unfortunately, we're out of time right now, but I know that you were very thankful for the message. I'm going to try to connect with Tucker's team. I know Buckley Carlson, who's Tucker's brother, wasn't happy with me in one post, and he did come after me on X. Since we've smoothed things over, the two of us, I'm going to try to see if we can get something to work, because I think both sides need to have an open debate, and we're advocates for just that. So, Gabriel, you're on to something, my friend. Thank you very much. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexShowStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Big Money. The backup Alex Shows Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexShowStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexShowStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexShowStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Brianna Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
You bet you know what. They don't want you connecting these dots. Welcome back to the show. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. All right, we got a lot that we're connecting right now, but I wanted to get to, it's kind of breaking news. The DOJ is officially announcing that they plan on releasing nearly 50,000 additional documents related to the convicted sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein. They expect those documents to be dumped on the web by Friday, they claim. A department spokesperson told this to the Wall Street Journal. And that's quite interesting, given the fact that we were told that we received everything. Doesn't seem to be the case. At least they're going to give it to us now. We'll see what comes from that. But again, folks, it's a little over 47,000 new files that will be dumped onto the web. And so I'm sure we'll learn a lot more. By the way, we kicked off the show by discussing that AutoPen investigation. I know many of you at home were listening in on that. I told you that according to my sources, NBC News got it right, that the investigation was put on cold ice. I keep saying cold ice as if there's another temperature for ice. Ice at this point. But it looks like, and I don't even say, but the DOJ did respond to me, and the DOJ sent me over to Judge Pirro, who is the U.S. attorney in D.C., and she's claiming we cannot comment on ongoing investigations. I know there was three investigations into the AutoPen scandal. I was told that all three of them were put on ICE, but it seems like they are disputing that claim right now. Again, that's probably what they're always going to do, though. They don't want you knowing the truth in regards to that. And obviously, that's going to cause a lot of backlash. But these are people who I'm talking. These are sources. And I don't like NBC News. I wouldn't back their report normally. So that's that. All right, folks, let's pivot a little bit to quality independent journalism. My girl, Sarah Gonzalez, is doing a great job at digging into the H-1B visa fraudsters that are out there. And she has a new report that outlines her very latest claims. Let's take a listen to clip 17.
Oh, there ain't nobody in there. And there is a f***ing card table set up again. Where are the computers? Where are the servers? Where's the technology that's happening here? Most importantly, where are the workers?
I think we found suite 78 right here. Pretty cramped quarters for 7 workers, wouldn't you say?
Where are the workers located?
They're in the office, actually.
So it's suite 78?
I don't know the exact address. I can check with you.
Well, it's interesting because we already checked and that suite is actually just a mailbox. So are the workers located in the mailbox?
No, not.
So where are all the workers?
Yeah, it's kind of a tight fitting over there. Joining me to discuss Sarah Gonzalez herself. She's been doing some incredible work on the H-1B visa fraudsters in the DFW area. We highly recommend you give her a follow. Sarah Gonzalez TX is where you do that. All right, Sarah, I want to dive into this one. It is your very latest, and I know you've been working very hard. You're knocking on doors. You're asking the tough questions. So what have you uncovered in this latest?
Brianna, thank you so much for having me, as always. It's always a pleasure. So the latest was just as frustrating as the first expose that we did, which, by the way, everyone can go view the full version over at Sarah Gonzalez TX on YouTube, as well as my Twitter account, my ex account that Brianna just mentioned. But it becomes increasingly frustrating, Brianna, when you start going to all of these businesses. And as you can see, it's the same song and dance almost every single time we go there. I come up to the door. I'm like, oh, gee, let me. Yes, this door's locked too. The lights are out. Nobody's home. If we can even find the suite, in which case one of these, we looked. We did multiple circles around the entire office building. And I said, guys, I don't think that this is an actual suite because the suites start at 100 and they go up from there. So I'm like, there's no suite 78. What is happening? We finally found it in the mailbox. So unless they have leprechauns that are working for them and doing these H-1B jobs that apparently no American workers can do, there's something extremely suspect. So it's the same frustrating examples that we found. We go to the house. The wife who is registered to the business has no idea what's going on, says the husband handles it all. And it's this recurring theme that we're seeing, especially with the tips that we're getting in, is it's a husband-wife duo. The husband originally comes in on the H-1B, brings his wife on the H-4. She gets an employment exemption form so that she can actually become employed. This was an Obama-era change, by the way, so that the H-4 dependent can come in. She can work as well. And then she starts setting up all of these shell companies, all of these businesses, and then they use it to import more H-1Bs and more H-4s. And the nasty cycle goes on. And that's why we're in the predicament that we're in, where Americans can't find jobs. And we're looking around our communities and we're like, this doesn't look like my home. This doesn't look like America anymore.
Yeah, well, the DFW area has been transformed. And I used to come down here 10 years ago and I enjoyed it. And then I moved down to DFW and I was surprised. I didn't realize how bad it got over the last few years. It was actually quite shocking. And it is a part of a massive thing that needs to be looked into. And you've put it on the radar of Immigration Services, DHS. And so this is something that's going to, you know, they're going to have to pay attention to. So that's right. Like the good part in all of this. But, you know, Sarah, if I had to put on your conspiratorial hat here, why do you think they're using these visas for fraud purposes? Is there like a personal dollar amount that they're just like kind of just shifting these over and saying, hey, listen, if you pay me a certain amount of money, I'll get you into the United States and you could use my LLC as coverage for you? Or are they using these as kind of like slave labor, just cheap labor and, you know, grabbing outside sources and bringing them in for that purpose alone?
You know, it's interesting that you asked such a great question, because the answer that I can tell you is both. It's both. Both things are happening. These consultancy firms, I know there's all these, you know, Indian nationals who are very upset whenever I mention the consultancy firms, and they say, oh, no, actually, you don't know how consultancy firms work. No, I do. And the problem is that federal law dictates that these consultancy firms cannot bring in these H-1Bs under a certain wage and then skim off the top. But what they're doing is they are bringing in these H-1Bs. we went undercover. We posed as an Indian national, and we were texting with some of these consultancy firms, and they said, "Yep, if you pay us $1,000, we will create a job offer for you. We will do all the filings for you. We'll do all the paperwork, but you're going to pay us 30% of your salary until the first year is done, and then it will drop to 25%. We've got it all in writing that these people are doing that. That is actually illegal. And so what they're doing is they are getting rich. These people who are already here, they establish these, you know, shell companies, consultancy firms, and they get rich. And then what they're essentially doing is they're importing all of these. I mean, I call it akin to human trafficking. They're importing all of these people who do not have these marketable skills. And these people are beholden to these consultancy firms because these are the people that they rely on in order to stay here. So it's just a nasty, vicious cycle, Brianna. And I mean, honestly, the worst part about it and the reason I'm fighting so hard is because I know you're disgust with the DFW area, and I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave. I'm worried that you're going to leave. So I'm like, we got to catch all these people. We got to get the scammers back to India so my friend Brianna can stay.
Well, you know, that was my big issue. I was like, Sarah, I don't know if I could do this anymore. There's only so many times I could walk down the streets. And this is the worst part about it, because they're not from this country, so they don't understand like how we are courteous to one another. They take up the sidewalks and they won't let you walk. Yep. And they just expand. And when you like kind of like, excuse me, they don't get it and they don't move to the side. There's no care in the world for others. Also, the driving is horrendous. It's one of my many motives to calling the federal government and trying to see if they're going to activate any of their federal agents to go out there and investigate this stuff. But Sarah, you know, I joke lightly, but this kind of leads to my next question in regards to all of this. You know, you've gone online, you've posted all of this between your YouTube page and your Twitter page. I mean, you're gathering about a couple of million viewers on all of this, and it's getting a lot of people's attention. Have you heard from the federal government on whether they're investigating all of this that you're finding?
Yeah, I will tell you this. We have sources over at USCIS. We are speaking to those sources at USCIS. We have yet to determine whether or not they will be actually helpful. But what we do know is that they have received our tips directly. And these are tips that we haven't even been able to show on video yet. These are tips that are still on the cutting room floor that we haven't been able to finish editing properly so that we can get it out to the American people in a way that makes sense, because we're talking about, you know, 40-minute conversations with attorneys and things of that nature. So we have sent all of that over to USCIS. They have acknowledged that it was received, and now we wait. But I got to tell you, I'm not willing to wait very long before I start blasting them as well, because it is a real problem. We're handing them slam dunks. We're doing all the research for them. I realize that there are legal paths that they need to go through to formalize the investigation, but it should not be taking too long to, you know, for as many taxes as we pay, it should not be taking too long to bring these federal agents, bring these USCIS agents down to the DFW area to come check it out for themselves and then make a determination. I mean, we're handing them slam dunks. So I'm not going to be as patient as they probably like me to be, but I will give them maybe call it a few more days to sort this out.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to keep our eye on this, because, again, you've gotten a bunch of tips. And I know you're going through all of this. You're sifting through it. You're investigating all of this. And you're going to be knocking on doors. So we look forward to following you. Again, to our audience, YouTube X, you got to give her a follow. Sarah Gonzalez, TX, where you could find her on that front. That is where all of her reports are being released. I highly recommend you do. You also give me great laughs, too. You always post your troll messages that you receive, and it's always a good chuckle these days. But, Sarah, I want to pivot a little bit, because this is actually really concerning. Politico says that they just sat down with President Trump, did an interview with him, it looks like. And during the interview, he issued a warning to Attorney General Ken Paxton, it looks like. They're claiming that he's leaning towards endorsing John Cornyn. The president, in a brief phone conversation Thursday morning, said an endorsement will be pretty soon, before addressing Paxton, who recently said he would not drop out of the race if Trump endorses Cornyn. Now, we also have the Truth Social post that I put on blast earlier this morning. I want to play Paxton's response yesterday to claims that if John Cornyn is endorsed by the president, that he doesn't plan on dropping out. Take a listen to clip three.
60% of the people who voted last night voted against Cornyn, though he's been in office for a long, long time, four decades. What do you make of that? What message does that send? And what message do you want to send to the Republican base today? President Trump said he's going to make an endorsement. Whoever he does endorse should drop out. I have a funny feeling you don't drop out under any circumstance.
No, I'm staying in this race. I owe it to the people of Texas. I've spent a year of my life campaigning against John Cornyn, because John has not represented the people of Texas well. He's sided with Joe Biden on Second Amendment restrictions. He's sided with Joe Biden on bringing Afghan refugees to settle here without vetting them. But he's been against Trump in both of his elections, said he shouldn't run last time, that his day had passed. And, of course, he fought him on the border wall. He's been an amnesty guy. Everything that Trump stood for, John Cornyn's fought. But he was a big help to Joe Biden. The people of Texas, at least the Republicans, would like something different.
All right. So, like, it's roughly like 60% of Texans voted in opposition to John Cornyn, but he is in a runoff race now with Ken Paxton. I was very upset about this. Sarah yesterday was very upset about this. Today, when we opened the show, I was very fired up on the issue. I don't want the president weighing in on the primary. I actually don't think that's appropriate. It's quite clear that Texans know what their best interest is, and it's not John Cornyn, and he will lose. But there's a reason why those rhinos, who, by the way, are the ones who held up President Trump's confirmation picks and refused to confirm key players, you know, like Ed Martin and Matt Gaetz, those same players are now trying to leverage this, I think, in my opinion, against the president to push forward. You know, he wants the Save America Act push forward. It sounds like to me they're trying to leverage this. We play the clip of John Thun, the leader in the Senate, also saying that he's backing him. They poured $70 million plus dollars into Cornyn's pushback on Paxton. I mean, this is well orchestrated right now. They are trying to bully Paxton out of this race. Your reaction to the political report claiming that they just interviewed President Trump and he's all, appears to be all in for John Cornyn, but hasn't officially endorsed.
Yeah, I have a message for President Trump, and this is coming from someone who has been a staunch supporter of his. I mean, I have taken daggers for him left and right. Do not insult Texans in this manner, President Trump. Do not insult us. We will not be deterred from voting against John Cornyn. We need an actual conservative fighter to represent us in the Senate. And it has not been John Cornyn. We are not happy with John Cornyn, which you can see in the results of the election, in which, Brianna, you correctly cited, nearly 60% of Texans who voted in the Republican primary said, we do not want John Cornyn. I would also argue to the president that if John Thune is actually using this as a bargaining chip to put the Save America Act on the floor, where is our warrior? Where is our fighter who says, you know what, I'm going to stick it to you, and I'm just going to blast you, because you don't get to, as the Republican Senate Majority Leader, you don't get to negotiate with me, the President of the United States. I am the President of the effing United States, and you will do what I say, and you will put this Republican legislation on the floor to be heard. That is the warrior spirit that we need from President Trump right now, not this negotiating, pandering, maybe I'll tell everyone to back Rhino John Cornyn, even though he gets an F in his liberty score, even though he has been constantly anti-Trump, even though he is America last. That is a slap in the face. This man has a 54% liberty score. He has spent all of our money in Ukraine. He wants forever war. I mean, I could go on. He doesn't appreciate President Trump's border wall. The amount of anti-Trump and anti-conservative rhetoric this man has spewed, it is insulting to think that President Trump would actually slap the face of nearly 60% of Texas voters and say, your race can be bought. Your Republican runoff can be bought. Because that's essentially, Brianna, what this is. This is John Cornyn and his allies spending nearly $100 million. And I saw the math on this. John Cornyn, for each vote that he received, had to spend over $100 per vote compared to Ken Paxton's $3.79. That tells you the enthusiasm in Texas, the passion in Texas is with Ken Paxton. And if President Trump thinks that he can just say it and it will magically happen, he is sorely mistaken. I would argue to him, I would plead with him, do not tarnish your legacy, President Trump, because we are not going to go along to get along here. We want Ken Paxton, we want the seat back, and we will do what it takes to ensure that John Cornyn is not our senator next go around.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand why this would even be a thing right now with the president. It doesn't make any sense. When we go through what John Cornyn has done, what he said about President Trump, it's quite clear that he's intentionally disrespectful to the president. And now all of a sudden there's this potential that he might actually endorse John Cornyn. And that's the part that's got us all fired up. And I didn't like the fact that he said, whoever I don't endorse needs to drop out. That's not for you to decide, Mr. President. That's for Texans to decide. And so this all has me. I mean, this will be the roughest black pill to swallow when it comes to this administration. You know, we're very critical on a lot of things. We're very excited about other things. But this one tells me that there's an issue right now and that they're holding this over his head. I mean, I'm trying to see what the rationale behind all of this is. Because when you look at the resume, and, you know, National Pulse put out a great story. Raheem did a great job at outlining this up on the National Pulse's website today. He outlines six key points, and I even added a seventh for him in this one, as to why John Cornyn has been such a horrible pick when it comes to the Senate and how he's been against President Trump from the beginning. I mean, we played the clip before in our show. John Cornyn specifically said, during the confirmation hearing for Pam Bondi, said that FISA has never been used against an American citizen and that, in fact, is misinformation, which is laughable, Sarah, given the fact that the President of the United States was the victim of FISA. When Crossfire Hurricane was being investigated, that whole fraudulent investigation was taking place. I mean, they used it against members on his team. And so to sit there and say that with a straight face is absolute garbage. And he wanted it on the record. Why? Because I think, in my opinion, he is a deep state operative. And that's why they're fighting so hard to protect him, because he is on those very critical committees, the intelligence committees. And so he's an advocate for things like that. Then also, you know, he validated Jack Smith by calling him a credible prosecutor when he was going after President Trump. He went after President Trump for J6 as well. The details go on. He was very pro DACA when President Trump was trying to strike DACA. This guy has worked.
He wants amnesty.
And what the heck are we? I mean, happy Ramadan, Sarah. I mean, that's the same guy who's like praising the Islamists taking over Texas. And now he's like, oh, I'm against Islamists taking over Texas. I mean, he has shifted drastically because he has an election to win. Does the president have, like, is he forgetful? Maybe it's contagious, whatever Joe Biden had. He's somehow forgetful in all of this. He tried to be as respectful as possible. But I'm looking at all this and saying there's not a single win for the president when it comes to endorsing John Cornyn.
No, not a one, Brianna. And that's why I'm my message to the president is very clear. Yeah. I am pleading with you. This is not a win for this is a win for nobody, because if you think for one second that John Cornyn is going to somehow, once you get him through this, if you even do, which I would argue you won't, if you think for one second John Cornyn is going to be like your guy, you're absolutely wrong. This is a man who is only doing what is politically advantageous in order to advance his own personal agenda. And think to yourself, Brianna, think to yourself for just a second how far President Trump has gone associating, cozying up to these rhinos rather than true conservatives. You have potentially Senator John Thune. You have him potentially, if the rumors are true, holding up, as I said before, holding up Republican legislation that simply says we should have secure elections. People should have to prove who they are before they vote in our elections. If this is the bargaining chip, if you don't have an actual Senate majority leader who just says we need this legislation because 80% of Americans, both Republican and Democrat, 80% of Americans agree on this. We need this legislation to advance to the floor. If you can't even do that, if this is somehow a bargaining chip for a Republican majority to advance Republican legislation, that in and of itself is proof to President Trump you've been cozying up with the wrong people. These are not your friends. These are not your allies. They certainly not America. They are not America first. And all you're going to do is alienate your true supporters and your true base. Of course, by doing this, there is no win in my eyes. There is absolutely no win for President Trump on this. If he looks at it critically, it does not make any sense, except when you consider he has the wrong people surrounding him. He has the wrong people advising him, and he needs to determine whether or not he wants to take the political consequences that come if he follows these rhinos' advice.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm told by those in the Paxton camp that he's not backing down, even if the president does endorse John Cornyn, and he shouldn't. Sarah, I will make this my full-time job if I have to help defend Ken Paxton. He's been a fighter from day one. He is someone who has proven his worth. You know, when everyone was a coward and afraid to talk about the 2020 election fraud, Ken Paxton sued those states who decided to open up their mail-in ballots to commit fraud. He's also somebody who was very aggressive on the front of going after the Biden regime with over 100 lawsuits filed. There's not a single AG who did just that. So there is no excuse here, and it's got me fired up. But Sarah, I want to pivot a little bit to another topic that's got us fired up. You were in D.C. just a couple of days ago, and you tried to confront Tony Gonzalez, who's obviously a congressman in the state of Texas. There's been a lot of reports. The Daily Mail has actually done a great job at going through this, that he was having an affair with a staffer. We were told initially it didn't happen. Then we were told initially by Gonzalez that, all right, like, this is political. This is political. And then he went and validated text messages. Well, he actually sat down with my good friend, Mr. Joe Pags, and Joe Pags actually did a lot to dig into this with Gonzalez, and it actually got a confession. Take a listen to clip 18.
I made a mistake, and I had a lapse in judgment, and there was a lack of faith, and I take full responsibility for those actions. Since then, I've reconciled with my wife, Angel. I've asked God to forgive me, which he has, and my faith is as strong as ever. When you make mistakes like this, you know, it's never easy. It humbles you, but it's important to kind of work through it all. You know, I look forward to the ethics committee starting an investigation. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to provide all the facts and all the details that lead to exactly what occurred in the entire situation.
All right, Sarah, we got about 2 minutes left. Your reaction, Gonzalez, coming clean all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's more to the story. You know, he fails to mention that this wasn't just a simple affair. This wasn't just, you know, they got swept up in this whirlwind romance. This was a boss. This was a public official, a boss who was harassing and pressuring a young staffer to send him dirty pictures. This was a boss who was entirely inappropriate. Multiple times she said, boss, this is too far. Boss, please stop. And you and I both know, Brianna, that as a female, we try to use certain keywords if we are feeling uncomfortable and we want to try to steer the conversation differently. She's using the term boss very intentionally in order to remind him of the inappropriateness of this request. And he still pushes on. He still continues on. This is a bad guy. This is a bad person. This is a bad Republican. This is just a bad guy all around. What shocked me on primary night was how close he came to Brandon Herrera's vote count. I look forward to Brandon Herrera defeating him in the runoff. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that we have multiple bad people in Congress. They've gone too far. They've been there too long. The power goes to their heads and they think that they can just get away with all of this. And by the way, Brianna, I think it's laughable. He says, I look forward to the ethics committee investigating. Like nobody in there ever in their whole lives is like, I love a good investigation into me. Of course, you don't look forward to the ethics investigation into you, Tony, but it can't come soon enough. And by the way, Brianna, word on the street is that there's much more to come on Tony Gonzalez's illicit affairs.
Well, that makes sense because there he is, like, coming clean now. And, you know, we had the text messages and he wouldn't even acknowledge those being authentic. I don't care what people do in their personal lives, but the reality of it is he brought this into his professional life. He did that himself. That's his own decision. The text messages are clear. I don't care to hear the back and forth. This woman committed suicide. This might have been a pivotal point to all of that. You know, there's allegations that before she passed away that she was expressing her feelings about finding her husband in an affair with a best friend, was kind of what the reports were suggesting. Doesn't matter to me. What I want to focus on, the fact that he's a liar and he should be tossed from his seat. Yeah. For abusing his power as a member of Congress. Sarah, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your time as always. And she does a great job all the time. Make sure you give her a follow, Sarah Gonzalez, TX, where you do that at. Also, reminder, Sarah, you and I were just at the Paxton party too the other day, and you did an incredible job at being Paxton's hype man. You gave a great speech before he came out, and you also were behind him cheering on our guy. So it's great to see you in the fight. I look forward to joining forces with you in this runoff race. We're not getting up anytime soon. So thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that's it for me. The Alex Jones Show is next. Don't go anywhere.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participated, supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend special deals, special offers. And with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexandroy.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexandroy.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.